All right, moving on to public comments. Is there anyone in attendance who would like to address the board? All right. All right, moving on to the financial report. The October and November 2025 monthly financial report and fiscal year 2025 fourth quarter investment report.
So in your packet, we have both the October and November. I don't have a lot of highlights. I think we spent about $348 in October and about $875 in November. The only notable expenditure there, we did spend the Independence Park. We did close on the Independence Park in October. So that was the land that we bought in joint with the city. We didn't buy, the city bought it. We financed a portion of it, but we did spend $587 on that. And then in your securities report, we had a balance at the end of September 30th of about $43.1 million that we are earning about 4.2% on. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, and Melissa and Tanisha are both here if you have any questions of them.
All right, can I get a motion and a second to approve the October and November 2025 financial report and the fiscal year 25 fourth quarter investment report?
Move.
All
right. Second. All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes 6-0. This is the time and place for a public hearing for the consideration of the use of sales tax proceeds from the levy of the half-cent sales and use tax approved by the voters of the City of Pearland on January 21st, 1995. Sales tax proceeds will be used for engineering and landscape architectural planning services related to development of a concept plan for Grand Link in Old Town. Is there anyone here who would like to address the board? All right, the public hearing is closed at 5:03 p.m. Moving on to the professional services agreement for engineering services with TBG Partners for the Grand Link.
So we really, we should say design services and not engineering services.
Oh, did I say that?
No, I did. It's on the agenda. It was engineering services. They're really not an engineer. Oh, but there's engineers in there. So the TBG is a landscape architect firm, and then they have
Dexter,
what is their engineering firm. And so we've been talking about this for a while since we adopted the Old Town Revitalization Plan. And so before you, we have a professional services agreement with TBG to begin the Grand Link design. And so there's really three segments of it. And so you'll see up there on the screen, the Festival Street, which is the area that we're going to focus on from Plum down to Broadway. And then they will just very lightly, we didn't feel like we needed a lot of other, there's the parking section, which is the section that's really in front of the Knapp Center and the county's building where the street's used for public parking, and there's significant public parking on the street. And then there's the two landscape median areas, which this is not very, it's a grass median, but not landscaped. And then we have the very nicely landscaped median up here that's got curb and beautiful trees down the median. So they will look at the overall plan and try to incorporate the improvements that are very loosely shown in the Old Town plan. And then they will show how to integrate Zielinski Park. Obviously, the city has a great park here in Zielinski Park. They will give us an opinion of probable cost for the project. The concept plan, the plan that we have now, identified it as being about a $20.7 million project. So we did do a request for qualifications. Four firms submitted, and we chose TBG. And so this is their, on the screen, you have kind of their scope of work, infrastructure analysis, program assessment, stakeholder engagements, come up with a conceptual plan, then implementation. They'll do a boundary survey, and then after this, you know, we would hope to get this completed in 2026, and then come back to you with that plan. And if it's good to go, then in 2027 we begin engineering on this to build construction plans, And then, you know, we could probably, you know, bid this project out, this segment, in 2028. So happy to answer any questions. And so as you'll remember, our budget included about $500,000 for Old Town Revitalization. And we would take this out of those, that budgeted line item. Happy to answer any questions.
So Matt, this work is designed to validate the estimated 20.7. Basically, this is going to lay out what we would take to bid, as you just described.
Yeah, I would say this would really give refine the concept that Olson and Associates came up with in much greater detail, so that then we could very easily then take it to the design stage. And there's public input in here. We've coordinated with community development, parks, engineering, and public works to make sure, because obviously it's a street, provides drainage, provides utilities to the places, provides the Methodist Church tremendous amount of parking, provides the a school with a lot of parking. I think we're meeting with the school's president next week.
The Montessori
in 2 weeks. We're going to go meet with them. I think the mayor talked to him, and I think he was interested in what we're doing. I don't think we were able to get them very engaged in the planning process. I know Vance tried, but we didn't get them very engaged in the planning process. So, you know, there'll be a lot of outreach, and then we'll integrate the park, Zielinski Park, into this too.
I've just never seen you call it.
And is TBG a vendor we've used before?
Yes. Yes. What have we? Oh, they're our vendor on 518 right now.
Both segments of
518. Yeah. And I think they've used the city before. I don't know if the city's used them for a lot, but yeah. Good firm.
All right. Any other questions? Can I get a motion and a second to approve the president to enter into a professional services agreement with TBG Partners for the Grand Link conceptual design in the amount of $289,500?
So moved.
All right.
Second.
All right. Thank y'all. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Motion passes 6-0. This is the time and place for a public hearing for the consideration of the use of sales tax proceeds from the levy of the half-cent sales and use tax approved by the voters of the City of Pearland on January 21st, 1995. Sales tax proceeds will be used for the engineering, design, and construction services related to expanding Kingsley Drive Bridge over Clear Creek. Is anyone here who would like to address the board? All right. This public hearing is closed at 5:09 p.m. All right, moving on to the reimbursement agreement for Kingsley Clear Creek Bridge reconstruction with the City of Pearland.
So there's nothing in your packet on this one because we did not, we're still working on the engineering proposal that we were going to bring to you as part of the reimbursement agreement, as part of the agreement, and we weren't unable to get it done. But we are going to come back to you next month with it. But this is the Kingsley Bridge. If you're familiar with Kingsley's a four-lane road, then comes to a stop here is four, then goes down to a two-lane bridge, as you see here, and then goes two lanes all the way up to the Beltway. And so the city has a Shadow Creek TIRS, Tax Increment Reinvestment Zone, where the city captures property tax from not only the city, but the county and the school district for this, and then uses it for public improvement. So the city's paid probably hundreds of millions of dollars of reimbursements for a lot of the infrastructure you see in the whole Shadow Creek area, the library, the fire station, the fire truck, all sorts of things like that too. And so the TIRS is going to be at the end of its life, but there's some money left. So the city just passed $34 million in amendments to the TIRS to add more projects. And one of them is this bridge. One of them is improvements to Broadway, to widen Broadway between Kirby and probably Half Moon Bay, because it's very congested in that section. And then there's some park projects in there, and then there's some land acquisition around the park. And so what we're going to come back to you is propose two things. One is that we would go out with and kind of project manages for the city. This fits into a lot of the things we're doing in Lower Kirby. Obviously, we have a tremendous amount of growth going on in the district right now, and this road's going to need to get reconstructed. But this project is completely within the city. You can see the city limit line goes to right here, then the city limit line goes on the right side of the road. And the remainder of this road is in Harris County. Only probably 20 feet of this road will be actually in the city of Pearland, and that's very common along Magnolia, for example. The right lane, the north lane is in the city once you get on the other side of 288, and then all the other three lanes are in Manville. So, you know, we need to long-term get this road reconstructed, and this would be a first phase of that project. And then we're also going to be looking at, the city's got to figure out a way to, this is just like we do with the management district. You got to go out and finance these projects. The city's kind of a developer, and then the TERS pays you back when there's funds available. And so we're also going to look at through our cash flow if we can finance some of these projects for the city. And then as the TERS money comes in, the city will pay us back. So we'll be coming back to you with those things in February. And then there's also a pipeline along this street. You can see these little pipeline signs, which I've driven by 1,000 times and didn't notice until we were talking about this the other day. So it's going to be a complex project to get done, but it's going to be an important project for the future of getting this road. Anyone that lives, I know Michi lives over here and Ken lives over here. If you drive these in morning and PM, these things are bumper to bumper in cars going to and from the Beltway, and they massively need improvement. And then with all the commercial development that we're building in the district, it's going to become even more important. So,
someone's
even if you don't have a job in Pearland, I have a job in Pearland, and I drive this road. So,
Okay, back up to the. Is the dotted line across the park? Is that the pipeline or
no? This dotted line here. This is Harris County. This is Fort Bend County, and this is Brazoria County. So there's a marker here. This is where the three counties come together. Okay. So this park's in three separate counties. Yeah, and then the bridge goes right up on to the edge. It's partially in the county and partially outside of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Quick question. I mean, is it worth, once we do this road, to clean up these boundaries a little bit? I don't know how you do
that. I always figure that's the hardest issue in the world, isn't it?
Before that, is it even...
I thought this city limit line was good. At least it got the whole bridge, so we didn't have to mess around with anybody else for the bridge part of it. But obviously, when we get on the other side of the bridge, but then I don't know. We'll probably end up through the district paying for most of Kingsley for Old Alameda School Road to be done. But hopefully, we can get Harris County to participate at some financial level.
Talking about just annexing the road, with nothing.
They probably give it to it. Well, no, we couldn't. I don't know.
Legislature allows you to annex a road.
Yeah. So we might.
That happened one or two sessions ago.
Probably good until 50 years when you have to rebuild it, and then we we pretty much take care of many land. Yeah. So it's that's a good. That's
what you thought. If nothing else, it's what's the boundary on who's responsible for an accident?
Yeah.
All the department us. I mean.
Yeah. We could landscape it, make it look nice too. So we didn't get that. So we don't need any motion tonight for that. But just wanted to let you know where we're at. But the important thing is the TERS has an end date, and I think we got to have all these projects done by the end of 2028. So there is a little bit of a rush because the TERS only has a 30-year lifespan. So,
all right, thank you. This is a time and place for a public hearing for the consideration of the use of sales tax proceeds from the levy of a half-cent sales and use tax approved by the voters of the City of Pearland on January 21st, 1995. Sales tax proceeds will be used for the engineering, design, and construction services related to various road, water, sewer, storm drainage, and site improvements located in Lower Kirby. Is there anyone here who would like to address the board?
And this all relates to our Project Eagle and all the things that we're going to be doing. So it's a significant amount of money. So we need to have public hearings for these things. It's going to transpire many, many years. So that's why we're having this public hearing tonight.
Okay. All right. The public hearing is closed at 5:15. All right. Moving on to the first quarter BizConnect update.
Mr. Johnson.
Hello. I can use mouse. I can go back to sitting down. She's a mouse.
Do you like
me? Yeah. It's okay if I sit?
Yes.
Or I can just blank sit on top of Dina.
What up, Dina? Hey, thank you. Well, good afternoon-ish, evening, everybody. I'm excited to talk about BizConnect and the great work we're doing within this program. This is your first quarter report. So this takes place October 1st, 2025 through December 31st, 2025. In your packet, as always, is the full list of the summary matrix, as well as the detailed reports from all surveys that we do with our primary employers. So first quarter started off strong, 11 visits. We do 48 per year during the holidays. It's always, if you look at our history in first quarter, it's actually a little bit lower than this. So we started the first quarter a little bit strong, trying to get as many in as the holiday season takes place. We had one leadership luncheon. I'll touch base on that in a little bit. And then
Adrian's driving them a little harder than Brian did in the holidays. So.
Yeah. Brian's like, you get December 2nd and you come back January 15th. Now, Mr. Malone isn't here to defend himself, but yes, that's true. We did visit some great headquarters, our engineering, located off Orange Street. And you'll see in their notes, it was a great conversation. They were working with a project down in the Valley. We had some great conversations about them potentially adding space right away, almost doubling the workforce. That's why we did a leadership luncheon with them. Unfortunately, that project didn't go through, but it was good to have those conversations and introduce Mayor Cole, city manager. I'll tell you, we do these luncheons, and many of you have been a part of them. They were just thrilled to visit with us. I mean, I think that's what this is. They were a company that moved here from the Ellington area about 12 years ago. They've grown. They're expanded. They're in that house off Orange right there, and they've turned it into a great facility. Brask, it's been a couple of years, even though Brask has had some expansions with you guys, some work with the EDC and the Rhode Island Industrial. It's the first time we've sat down and done a BizConnect with them the last couple of years, so it was great to hear about what they're doing. WPI, welcome. I didn't touch anything, I promise, Melissa.
Okay.
I can just go to the bottom right there.
Get on that.
Yeah, we're done with that report.
You're like, man, you're done, Jim. Thank you.
Awesome.
That concludes the report. WPI, welcome off Industrial Drive. So two off Industrial, and then Rolac Shutters. I've told this story before about Rolac. And if you go back and look in the notes, and you go back to 2015, 2016, there was conversation about Rolac expanding. And it's great to actually see when we were on site, we got to walk out back and see them actually expanding. They're adding that coating section. They're expanding their services. But sometimes these visits don't happen overnight. It doesn't say, hey, we're expanding tomorrow. They do it. It literally took a decade for them to break ground, and exciting to see that they're finally doing that. That's a good old Walter. There's the R Engineering. Dina, you had the pleasure of joining us for that luncheon. As you might recall, that they brought they have a great extensive leadership team, and they were just thrilled to talk with us. And we always have those opportunities to visit with them. We just left Scissor G. I always say it wrong. We did an on-site you'll hear about that next report, but I might as well. It was a great visit with them. They shared some fantastic expansions, things that they're doing. If you've never toured that place, it's impressive on what they do there. So I always highlight the ugly sweater golf tournament. You're like, what is this? So part of BizConnect is that we bring all the primary employers together a minimum of twice. We invite them all to come out. One of them is a formal luncheon that we do, and one of them is our golf tournament. All BizConnect companies get a opportunity for two players in the team. They get to get out there and visit, and it's always great to see them come out. Buc-ee's, companies that you might see, but they come out there, they network, they connect, and they have a fantastic time on the golf course.
You meet their golfers on staff?
Buc-ee's brings two, they always have like the junior attorneys that like must play, playing a lot of good golf. And then it's like, oh wow, you're the good ones. There's a reason. And then there's the two that go, we got free two players to play in the golf tournament. You're like, oh, there's a reason. Yeah. We pair them with Craig. Craig's a good teacher on the golf course. On that end. So great opportunity out on the golf course. Young Professionals is one of the workforce programs that we do. They did their toy drive. They've been doing more and more coffee and conversations with that. The young professionals, that's interesting. Morning, evening work, middle of the day. Our young professionals and community don't break away, but we continue to do that program on that end. We also have work in Pearland, and I just wanted to highlight the ongoing success of this. And you see the interactions, you see the booth, and I never want to steal Mo's thunder because she always has a more extensive thing on that. But I would say we heard from former Pearland EDC board member, now Councilor Rick Fernandez, that they hired somebody from the site today. We just learned that information. So it's always great as we hear confirmed hires on that area. As we move on, we always highlight chamber activities. So you guys know our healthcare committee continues to do that. I was asked recently about the $5 million, and I shared that last time. The big challenge with that is they just haven't released that from the state. Once they do release those funds, we'll have a better understanding of what we can actually use them for. But our hope is to do some design and some property purchases. So we come back next year, we can see that fully funded in that area.
We still have to do the long-term feasibility?
The Meadows Institute through the Gulf Coast Center has done a longer-term study on that, so we do have a better understanding. Originally, the first study we commissioned said that we could do up to 230 beds, that 115 was the bare minimum. Gulf Coast Center, which is our local mental health authority, came back. They did a little bit more extensive detail into actually the profitability and the sustainability. It needs to be in groups of 12 with anywhere from 48 to 72 beds is actually what you're seeing. That's what actually can be, I hate to say profitable, but maintain and not be a potential go away. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. You need that, but if you don't know anything about mental health, there's not a lot of money in it right now. The reimbursements aren't strong, and that causes some challenge on that. If it was more profitable, more and more companies would be in it. That's why you see a lot of our major medical not involved in that. Anyway, our workforce committee, Mo and Jennifer are doing some fantastic work. Everything they're doing. They had their first HR development, education, and career exploration. It's so crazy. We look at the first quarter. That's when we did manufacturing day, where the students came out. And six different companies, all primary employers, and 64 students, and then continue all the internships and going on that and building on that success. Chamber activities, we just love to let you know all the things we're going on that might not directly tie, but are closely. State of the County, Taste of Pearland, and Candidate Boot Camp all continue to be strong. That's a great picture of Taste of Pearland where it just was booming and going. Our past chairs reception, we always thank the mayor and Matt for being able to join us as we recognize our outgoing chairs. Man, part of our program is that we do the State of the PDC, and your president won't share this data, but he had one of the highest non-State of the Cities we've ever had, the third highest attendance. Besides Mattress Mac and Rudy T and Calvin Murphy, those are the only two people besides the mayor that have beat the. And I should
more than Bagwell,
but more than Bagwell, he did four more than Bagwell this past year. That blew my mind.
Bagwell's a little washed up.
Better than a Hall of Famer.
He doesn't even know who he is anymore.
I shared that not to make Matt feel amazing about his presentation, but to show that the work of the PEDC and the members that we connected is that that is the same luncheon we've done every November for the last 12 years. And the increase in attendance, it went from 196 to 248, which do the math, that's a good 20% attendance over the last year. And Matt scored a perfect NPS score, Net Promoter Score. It's our number one thing, 100. That means everybody that showed up rated it a 9 or 10. So that's just fantastic information. Wow. I just want to give Matt some credit on that. And then our continued work with the small business meetups on that. So last thing, we just always highlight how many employers are part of that. We did, part of our contract is to share a complete list of all the industries. We survey them every year. That's come over the EDC. Y'all implement that into y'all's Salesforce, as well as we create a resource guide, which is something that we deliver to all of our BizConnect companies. It gives them information like CenterPoint contacts, education partners, all that fun jazz. That concludes my report. And I'll give you back the mouse, Mr. Buchanan. But gladly, as always, answer questions on the BizConnect program. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Mayor. All right, moving on to the activity report.
Okay, I'll just kind of flip through here and give you some highlight. The first thing I was going to touch on is Stream. If you haven't driven Kirby lately, Stream has completely finished their buildings. Most all their landscaping is done. It looks really good. We've been pushing these buildings out to a variety of different possible tenants. And I think they're already getting good interest on it. So we'll hopefully have some good news coming on those soon. So then under business retention, you'll see we have United Imaging, Crane Group. Crane Group has completed their building. Adrian and I went and toured it on Wednesday morning, and it was just gorgeous. We'll be having an open house here soon, and you'll all get invited to it. And then Brass Nila's on there. They've gotten their CEO. We have sent out to everyone. It's that time of year where we send out their compliance reports that are due at the end of February. And so we will have to be doing amendments. So we'll probably start bringing you some amendments coming because most all of our people usually miss their dates. So United Imaging and Crane and Brass will be bringing you amendments on their loan agreements for you to review at your next month. So you'll see those in your packet. We might just do one memo and put those in there. Most all of them are just dates that they need adjusting to then be eligible, because obviously if they don't meet their dates, then they're technically not in compliance with their agreement. So we'll be bringing those all to you. Jim just talked about BizConnect. In marketing, we did have an announcement. HCA made an announcement that they are doing an expansion to the hospital, and that was a hugely popular social media post we put out, I think it was $60 million. $60 million. We have a pre-development meeting with them, I think, next week. So that's a great, great project for us. Great, great. They're a taxpayer, so that they, that will push them up into be our largest taxpayer in the city. I think they're probably second right now, but that might push them into the first marketing campaign. We'll get you an update on that. We're working on our annual report. We should have that out soon. I'm going to skip through Pearland Innovation Hub because we talked a lot about that last month. And I'm going to skip workforce because Mo's going to get up here and do her show in a second. Is show too much? Is that too much? That's too much? So good news, Fruger, if you haven't driven, another reason to drive down Kirby. I know we're going to do our bus tour, so I don't want to spoil it all, but Fruger is done. It looks great. Much big improvement. This will help the city's overall pavement index. Was it PI, pavement index?
PCI.
PCI.
Pavement condition
index. Yeah. This is going to be a big help for it.
Take off one of those 30s.
Yeah, exactly. This will take off a very low-performing street. We're continuing on the Hooper, Fruger work. Our lift station, we talked about Kingsley Industrial Drive. So they have started paving on Industrial Drive, as you can see. So they started at the west end, correct? Closer to the railroad tracks, and then they're working their way back. We've had some gas line that's caused some issue. We're probably going to have a change order for some things. But otherwise, they're making, I've got a good contractor out there, and they appear to be making good progress. And we'll go drive that on our tour. You'll all get to go out and pound some forms in and stuff. We've got that all lined up, so it's going to be exciting.
So what's the
thought process? Wear your work boot. Go ahead.
What's the thought process on those sidewalks that aren't necessarily just straight? When they, the one proceeding?
Oh, on in, Lower Kirby.
I'm just asking. Us.
Got to go around.
LNRPD requires them to be
meandering.
And then corridor overlay requires sidewalks, if possible, to be meandering too.
So meandering. That's a new word for me.
Yeah,
okay.
I
thought maybe it was the lowest bidder, and they just didn't shoot.
Sometimes the meandering. It was a low bid. Sometimes the meandering works around utilities and poles too.
Sure.
But you know, as Pearland Parkway has sidewalks that are like that. Now, if it's a TxDOT project, they won't do it, and they'll just be a straight. But we have a few roads that have that, and Lower Kirby generally does. To me, it works better when you have more right of way, and you can make the sidewalk not be straight. But sometimes when the right of way is very tight, you're not gonna. There's no room for it to meander.
Is it throwing you off, Clay? That.
Well, no, I mean, you drive down by Country Place and you see that one by the, I mean,
that one I think is by necessity, though, by trees and poles, don't you think?
All those residents out there, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know whether they're drunk or out there or what. Anyway, I'm just.
That one is a little.
Meandering, though, it's a great term, and I can I might borrow that.
You've been meandering for years, Craig. all right, so Industrial Drive. Knapp, we'll talk about Shank and Woody. We will bring you, you approve that in December. We're going to take that to a council in February for the Shank. I shouldn't keep clicking when I'm not looking up. And then North Main. Oh, so the developer next door to Jerry has completed their buildings and has gotten electrical service to them. So we are making that reimbursement of $178,000 to those buildings at 1613 Main that have been long under construction. So we did.
Have they gotten COs yet?
Yes, they have. They've got COs on
three buildings.
Yeah, three buildings, and that was our requirement. They have not got building COs on every single building. We did have our first showing with the company in there on Friday of last week, so we have had a showing. So hopefully we'll start seeing some tenants. They've said in their flyer that they've already got two buildings leased.
Amazing.
Where they put some of those loading docks is going to take some damn good drivers to get trucks into those loading docks.
I'm not going to give it any awards for layout. It doesn't make a lot of sense in some spots. So Old Town, the only thing I was going to touch on is, so then the next thing we're going to bring you, and it should be next month, we actually had an internal meeting in here at 3 today and went over the proposal that we have from Kimley Horn to kind of do a conceptual layout of this road through here and look at the geometry of it. And so we will bring that to you in February, an engineering proposal to do, to look at Walnut as the new Broadway and the widths of it and what that would take. So that will be on your February agenda. Mobility real quick, Broadway, we had a meeting, our quarterly meeting with TxDOT today on the west side. As you'll see, they've gone through and started doing the clearing for the utilities. So if you've driven by Randall's and down there, you've seen, obviously a lot of people are upset with all those trees. It was unfortunate those all get taken down.
Social media posts.
Yeah. But they do have 43 of 43 properties acquired west of Cullen. And they're looking at a September 27th letting now. And then east of Freedom. And in between Cullen and Freedom, they have 6 of 8 tracks. So they've almost got everything they need. 2 more tracks left for that whole west segment. And then east of there, they're looking at an August 28 letting now. So they've moved that back a little bit. And they have 31 of 86 parcels. That is not in your notes because I just got that information just a little while ago. So they are making good progress on all segments of that. Smith Ranch Road Public Improvement District, we are hopefully getting close to having our appraisals done for all the easements that we need to get as part of that major project, and we'll be getting offers out to the property owners. We did get 5 that donated those easements to us, I think it was, 5 tracks. So we did get some that donated it. The Parks Master Plan is getting ready to wrap up, so you should have a presentation for that here in the coming months. And then Pearland Prosperity, our next meeting is February 4th. And I already mentioned our compliance report is out. Any questions on any of that?
That 31 of 86, is that, Jim, you made a comment today.
Jim closed on his.
You were done.
So he would be one of those 31s.
Yes.
You're done?
Yes. Got my check December 18th-ish.
Well, you mentioned that at the luncheon today.
Yeah.
That's why your numbers look so good.
They were good before that.
Put his revenue number.
It's like the third largest chamber for 2025.
Like in the nation?
Yeah, like I mean, in Houston, like it'll be GHP, Pearland Chamber. We'll leave out that little bit of money, and it'll drop down the next year. So people are going to wonder what we're doing. So
with an asterisk in it, Jim.
How much feet of frontage?
I'd have to pull up the exact. We lost about our big thing was we had some diminished value on our property by losing the parking, and so that was kind of our big counter argument to them on that end. So
it's good.
Yeah,
is the Pearland Prosperity meeting here?
No, Pearland Prosperity meeting is at the chamber. Just wanted to remind you, we have the chamber banquet on the 22nd, so hopefully you've RSVP'd for that. And then we have Pearland Day in Austin, February 25th, 26th. Please let us know if you want to come to that. And then our bus tour date is
the
13th. So please let us know if you have not already.
The 13th of February.
Yep.
Friday the 13th.
What?
Hopefully it'll be a 3-hour tour.
Three. Okay.
Yeah, glad you got the
baby. I got it.
You gotta be old.
No, not that old.
You're not that young. Yeah. All right.
All right. So as you all know, we have our workforce action plan in our Pearland Prosperity Strategic Plan. These are our 6 priorities there. I'm going to turn it over to Mo and let her. Is it clicker working?
No, clicker not working.
Okay.
You can set it.
Okay.
I need a corner. Well, thank you so much. Not a show, but definitely a trailer. to be driven by our Pearland Prosperity Strategic Plan and our workforce strategy action plan, which, a bigger suite, but we are actually at the fork year off our workforce strategy action plan, but the show must go on. And so with that, we have actually started planning for the next 5 years of our workforce strategy action plan. We brought TIP strategies before the board at our last board meeting in October, and the board approved them, and we have started work with them. A steering committee has been finalized, and we'll be meeting on February 17th. We've met with them twice. There's ongoing technical review and having supply and demand analysis happening as we speak. So we look forward to a great 5-year workforce strategy action plan, which we should be able to get by June, and we'll be able to present to the board. All right. Of course, a big part of the last Workforce Strategy Action Plan was collaborations, and we continue to build and have extremely strong partnerships, the Chamber being one of the strongest ones. Thank you, Jennifer, for staying back for this presentation. That's a testament of, you know, it's been a long day, so I appreciate that. And, you know, work at Pearland.
I told her to leave, though, and she stayed. So.
It's this kind of you know, care and partnership that is driving the work forward. So appreciate that.
The gym doesn't often show.
Jim's there.
Yeah, he's there.
He's keeping tabs. So work in Pearland. Jim shared the numbers. Numbers are great, but I think one of the things we were able to get added, we spoke to our consultants, our WeFairs partners, and they were able to add job matching as a feature to the new platform, which I think, you know, is going to go a long way. So now if candidates log on, they actually get recommendations based on their resume. And if an employer logs on, they actually get recommended candidates based off of the job postings that they have. So a great new feature, and we'll see how that goes. Workforce subcommittees, Jim shared, you know, a slide where we talked about the three main events that happened across each one of those subcommittees. They've been leading the work, and we've been walking right along with them. Manufacturing Day was a great success, October 23rd. Thank you to all the businesses that participated, and we look forward to grow this event. It's going to be an annual event celebrating Manufacturing Month in October. We also had a great internship networking event in July, and then we had an HR wellness luncheon event held on November 4th with about 30 attendees. We continue to collaborate across the county as well with our community resource network. We are already working with our nonprofit partners and trying to aggregate all of the you know, community resources that were available. We were recently awarded a $75,000 grant from the Greater Houston Opportunity Youth Collaborative. I think that will go a long way in addressing some of the data that we've been presented by Mentors of America as related to opportunity youth. And so Brazoria County actually happens to have some of the higher disconnected youth numbers. That's youth that is neither in school or in jobs or working out there. And so it would be a great economic impact if we could somehow bring them back and reconnect it to the businesses and employment. So this strategic roadmap will go a long way in not only identifying the gaps we have in the community, in the county, it'll help us identify the assets because they're kind of disjointed and in silos right now. It'll also help us create a strategic roadmap, which we can then hand over to the players that are actually working in that space so they can drive this work forward. So, again, very exciting work. It'll be happening over the next 6 months alongside our own strategic planning process as well. So career exploration, again, two great events. We spoke about the Manufacturing Day, and then CCPF was also in November, another great career exploration event. This year, we started young. Like, they were literally babies walking the CCEF Anderson Hauser floor. And so some great pictures. I'm just happy to share a few with you. But again, a great example of how businesses can actually make an impact in the community while partnering with us and the different workforce entities.
Did they advertise younger for younger kids? Because usually it's like, what, 6, 7, 8?
Yeah, it's that. But they did say this time families are welcome.
Oh, so okay. I think that's great.
Yeah. Whoever set up all the advertising to go to all the schools might have accidentally checked a couple elementary schools.
smart. Great idea.
That's great.
Yeah. Grants, we continue to work with the state, with TWC, with our community colleges, and with our businesses to try and bring in more funding. So last year, we brought in about $1.5 million. You've heard of these millions. But again, the impact really has been pretty significant. Third Coast, one of our pioneers in this Skills Development Fund, they're actually going to start and apply for another round. So it's a continuous process. It's a cycle. Once we get our businesses to apply to one, they can continue to apply and continue to use those funds to develop their training programs. So we were able to get the Greater Houston Opportunity Youth Grant funded, and then we are working with Merrick Medical and Lonza for additional skills development fund as well. So again, great progress made. We'll continue to work on getting more funding in. Industry sector partnership, again, this is, I think, we started this partnership a year and a half ago. The last 6 months, we had two meetings. One was July 15th, and the other one was December 2nd. The December 2nd meeting, we actually held in a different format. So we had panelists come in, and our topic included a discussion on navigating the current business environment as it relates to manufacturing, with a focus on trades, tariffs, regulations, and immigration. We had some incredible interaction between the businesses. I think we will probably do more panels as we go forward. And the December, and the one on July 15th was a peer company exchanging a success story with the different companies. Community resource network, as we were saying, we continue to take the lead on building this out. Phase two has been completed, and we are currently now in the process of going through a soft launch. So we have 11 nonprofits that are actively on that platform and are actually testing and trying it out. A couple of bugs were discovered, but they have mostly been fixed. And so February 1st is now the hard launch for this platform. The partners that have used it were mostly United Way partners. And so there's about 30 nonprofits that are part of the United Way family, and they actually work and collaborate together. And so United Way is extremely excited that they are now going to have this collaborative platform and a space for them to not only review the data, because if you look now through this platform, you can actually look at the gaps in services. You can actually go ahead and analyze the data of what are the skills and what are the services that are being provided. You can actually have volunteers sign up for your events and provide help as needed. And you can also go ahead and announce, post announcements and events through that platform. So a lot of excitement. We have already started training sessions with a lot of the nonprofits in the area. So 17 nonprofits have already been trained on using this platform. Our goal is to get to 25 by the end of this month. So the hard launch will be actually with 25 nonprofits that will be on this platform actively using it starting February 1st. So at that point, we'll have a community-wide media release, outreach, and start rolling it out for everybody to, if they're nonprofits who are interested, they can go ahead and start using the platform and we'll onboard it. What I'm really excited about is that Community Health Network have been excellent partners. Of course, we partnered with them on the design, but they have actually hired two staff members dedicated to the training and upkeep of this platform specifically for this, which I think will go a long way in maintaining and making sure this platform is effective. So some great partnerships again in work.
What are the verticals in terms of nonprofits? What are the buckets or the themes?
So there's everything that's part of the basic skills services needed, healthcare, based on the healthcare survey. So everything starting from housing, food
insecurity,
training, transportation, life skills, everything. So all nonprofits. I'm also hoping that through the youth grant, we are going to be able to have a youth-focused portal in here. So again, we'll be tying in some of what we're doing and providing this platform to the county so that youth-focused organizations can also collaborate through this.
Can you send out a list of the 25 nonprofits?
Yes,
for sure. Kind of interested to see who all's on there and I can think of that might...
I'll send it out.
Fill that in there somewhere too.
Yeah, and please showcase this.
Yeah,
if you know of nonprofits that would benefit by being, again, the more nonprofits, because one of the feedback we got from our nonprofits is that I wish I could refer somebody because I don't offer this resource, but there are not enough organizations on there to refer right now, which, again, it's in a soft launch phase.
Yeah.
There's only 11 organizations. So once that part starts, it's going to be incredible.
And there'll be like eligibility, I guess, requirements too.
Yes.
Okay.
And
okay.
So if
that would be helpful.
And there's a candidate self-referral system. So if I am a community member and I need a service, I can go ahead and fill out a form. And that will immediately mm-hmm. be sent to the organizations that actually are providing services mm-hmm. because when they're onboarded, you can actually choose what services you're providing. So it's automatically matching it.
Yes.
And they are
going to
get
mapping.
An email
mm-hmm. like
saying
it.
This individual is looking for a service. Same thing with the volunteers. If I am a volunteer looking to volunteer, I can actually go in there, sign up, and I can specify these are the things I want to volunteer in, and it'll match me immediately to organizations that benefit from that.
Good.
So that's it. That's
any
all
other questions, Mo? All right, Mo, great work. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a show.
It's amazing.
It was a show, Mo.
It was a trial.
Last slide had a lot of color.
The board of directors will now recess the open portion of this meeting to move into executive session. Executive session under the Texas Government Code allows the board to discuss the items listed on the agenda under other business, but the board cannot make a decision or take action during executive session. After executive session, the board will come back into open session and take action on these items. We will recess the open portion of our meeting at 5:47 p.m. and enter into executive session. So the board is returning from executive session at 6:33 p.m. For the deliberations regarding the economic development negotiations project number 2403, can I get a motion and a second to approve the president for the chair to execute a reimbursement agreement with the city of Pearland related to prospect 2403 to fund site improvements, detention, right-of-way, and utility easement, land acquisition, and roadway and utility improvements in an amount not to exceed $18,300,000 as discussed in executive session?
I'll make a motion.
Seconded.
All right, Slade in Washington. Is there any further discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes 6-0. With no other business before the board, we will adjourn our meeting at 6:34 p.m.